Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day, things we don't even think about. And then later we think that was God that saved us from that. And Lord, I just want to thank you, give you all the thanks, Lord. And Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways, and you continue to bless us. Today we witnessed a baptism. Thank you, Lord, for the baptism. And Lord, thank you for giving us hope when there's no hope, and give us courage when we don't have courage. And Lord, sometimes we go through tough times, and you supply our needs. Lord, I'm asking you to supply each and every person in here with their needs, fill their hearts with love and joy, dear Lord. And Lord, I ask you, as Pastor Cal comes forward, I ask you to bless the word this morning and all of our teaching today throughout the Sunday school classes. It's in your mighty name I pray, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We are returning this morning to our sermon series, Being Set Free to Love. I do my best to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but I really am enjoying. How many of you have been set free in 23 from something? Don't do like this. Do like this. All right. God is moving in our city, in our community, and bless God, He's moving in our church. And it's not our church, it's His church. So I thank God for that. We're in John chapter 13. And I'm going to read verses 31 through 35. Michael's birthday was this weekend or this week, and he's got all his buddies on the front row. They're under the spout where the glory comes out, right up here. Some of y'all need to get up here. Amen. God bless you. Happy birthday. Yes, sir. When you find John chapter 13, I know we've been up and down today, but could we honor God's word by standing as we honor it for the reading? John 13 and verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him." Say amen. Amen. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Looks like God wants the glory. Amen. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, and here it is, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And may God add his blessing to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of his holy, authoritative word. Please be seated. John is called in many places and in many circles the Apostle of Love. He even calls himself in his gospel the one who Jesus loved. Some have called John's gospel, John's book, God's love letter. I have encouraged many folks who are seeking God, folks who are not yet saved, even people who are brand spanking new believers, to read through John's book, through John's gospel. Do you know why? Because people are meeting Jesus all through the book. And person after person is extended the love of God. Now, some of them receive it, and some of them walk away from it. But I want to tell you, this book is permeated with love. And so, and let me say this. John 3:16 and John 13, 34 and 35 are the crux of the context of this passage. It's the tenor and tone of this text. Now, we're going to focus on verses 34 and 35 today, but the disciples' hearts were troubled because Jesus had just told them that one of them would betray him. And he also told them, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come. Now, that tore them all to pieces because they'd spent over 3+ years with this man and followed him and loved him and ministered with him and cried with him and ate with him and laughed with him. They did life with him. And he's going away. And where he's going, they couldn't come. You know, sometimes when a family member is going away for an extended period of time, he'll leave some instructions for the family. And in these final instructions to the disciples, it tells the disciples what a true follower of Jesus Christ not only looks like, but acts like. And so I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning, if it's all right, about the gospel of love. Say love with me.
Love.
Look at your neighbor and say, I love you.
I love you.
All right. Three quick points today and about the gospel of love. And Jesus, first of all, and we're just going to focus on verses 34 and 35, but the scripture tells us in verse 34 that we're to love everyone. Tell somebody everyone means you. We're to love everyone. Not just folks who look like us. Did you catch that? He said, a new commandment I give you that you what? Love one another. And then he says it again, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And so he tells us twice, we need to be loving one another. We need to love everyone. And not just, we don't just love Americans. How many of y'all ever been to another country? Great. More of y'all get out than I thought. Fantastic. We're to love everyone, not just folks who look like us and talk like us and act like us. We're to love white folks and black folks. We're to love Hispanic folks and Asian folks. Amen? We're to love old folks and we're to love... Hallelujah, old folks. Come on. We're to love young folks. Amen? We're to love everyone. And really... God has proven that point to us over and over again. Now, we're going to go to John's epistles. How many of you are familiar with 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? And so we're going to spend some time over there a little bit this morning in 1st John in supporting the verses over there in John's gospel. So listen to what 1st John chapter 4, verse 10 says. In this is love. Not that we love God. Did you hear that? You didn't go looking for God, friend. He came looking for you. We love Him because He first loved us. Now watch this. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the... Woo! Here's a $25 word. The propitiation for our sins. And I got to read verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, God has proven this love toward us. Matter of fact, Romans 5:8 says, God has demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I don't know how many of y'all are in a home group, a home group this week, but you're going to do a little word study on this word, propitiation. Now, I'm not going to give you everything, but this word has its roots in the Old Testament. This week was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And back in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he would take the blood of a sacrificial lamb and sprinkle that blood where? Yeah. On the mercy seat. I don't want to totally get into that, but I just want to tell you, propitiation means Jesus is our mercy seat. He sprinkled and shed His blood and became our sacrifice. Hallelujah. He has proven His love for us. And by the way, not only has He proven this love for us, He's given us His love. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now go back to the 1 John 4, and I believe it's verse 16, says this. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Somebody, amen? God is love. I thought surely some Baptists would just do a jump, just shout for joy right there. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And so not only has God proven this love for us on the cross, He has given us His love. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute, but let me just back up over there. This really got a hold of my heart and my spirit over there in John's Gospel, verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give to you. What's up with that? Is love a new commandment? No, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you ought to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then Leviticus 19 and verse 18 plainly says, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And so this wasn't brand new thinking. This wasn't brand new truth. But it wasn't new in practice, but it was new in principle. Because Jesus is taking this love to a new level. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people were to love one another. Jewish family. They weren't necessarily called to love pagans, although they should have. Because that was us, the Gentiles. And so Jesus is taking that Old Testament commandment to love your Jewish brothers and sisters to a higher level. And he's calling us to love everyone. And did he not do that? Did he not do that? I mean, what the Bible says, bless God, he ate with sinners. And he associated with outcasts. And he spent time with people that, can I use this word, church folk? Wouldn't hang out with. He loved everybody. He loved his Jewish brothers and sisters. He even loved Gentile folks. That's us. Look at your neighbor and say, you Gentile. I don't know. Do we have any Jewish folks in here? They're not owning up to it. Okay. Jesus loved. You know, children just flocked to Jesus. Do you know why? Because children, I'm going to tell you, you'd better be real, because if you're not real, children can spot a fake person a mile off. And they flocked to Jesus. Why? Because he loved them. He loved men. He loved women. He loved adulterers. He loved sinners. He loved people who were demon-possessed. And so we are told that God wants us to love everyone. And he's proven that love for us, and he's given that love to us. Which leads to the second thing I want to get to. We're to love as Jesus loved. Uh-oh. We're to love as Jesus loved. Where'd you get that? Right there in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. We're to love people the way Jesus loved people. Now, he's the perfect example for us in love. Now, last week we were going to go to the love chapter, okay? Before God intervened and led to another direction last Sunday. But I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. And so since we didn't get to pile through 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, let's go there real quick. Y'all know where 1 Corinthians is, right? Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to do a little exercise here, and I want you to get this. Jesus is the perfect example of love for us. He's proven it, and he is the exemplary person to follow when you're talking about love. Watch this. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 there. And wherever you see the word love, we're going to put the word Jesus in there. Okay? And it'll make great sense. Watch this. Verse 4. Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade himself. Jesus is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Somebody shout glory. Glory. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus is our example in love. And if you ever want to know what real love looks like, check those verses out and then plug your name in there. Let's try that. And I got my wife sitting right down here on the front row. Cal suffers long and is kind. You see, we don't have the right to be unkind to anyone. And that includes social media. Cal does not envy. Cal does not parade himself. Cal is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Cal does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures. How are you lining up with that? He's our example. And I've said all of that to say this, you've got the power to do exactly what he's calling you to do. How so? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. You just need to keep your fingers there because we're in there. 1 John 4 and verses 12 through 13. No one has seen God at any time. 1 John 4, 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Wow. Now watch this. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. How many times have we talked about the Holy Spirit this year? If you've got Jesus, you've got his Spirit. And if you've got his Spirit, you've got the strongest power in the universe. And you can do anything God wants you to do because you've got his Spirit. And he wants us to love folks as he loved us. And you can do that because you got the power to do that. Hallelujah. I know God puts people in your path that's hard to love. But when you think about Jesus, did he love the folks that God put in his path? Yeah. He was on the cross. And the very ones that crucified him and treated him horribly, he looked at them and said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He's our example in everything. And he has the power to do what he's asking us to do because his Spirit lives in you. Oh, God, teach us to love people the way you love people. Teach us, God, to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. To be open to what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do. Lead, guide, and direct us, God, in this area of loving folks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, here's what I really wanted to get to. I want you to look at this third truth that Jesus gives to us in verses 34 and 35. Some of you are not ready for this. I know I wasn't ready for it when I read it. Are y'all ready? I just said we weren't ready, but anyways. Look at verse 35. By this, what's he talking about? By our love for one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is the mark of a true disciple. Listen to me now. Get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Love is the mark of a true believer, a true follower of Christ. It's the bottom line. It's the characteristic. It's the attribute. It's the mark that sets us apart from a lost and dying world. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago about serving others. And let me see how well y'all remember. Who are we supposed to serve first? Yeah, of course, the Lord. But practically, whose needs are we supposed to meet first before we meet other needs? The brothers and sisters. And that's what he's calling us to do here. To love others, one another, as Christ has loved us. And man, this all will know that you're my disciple. The true mark of a follower of Jesus Christ is somebody who's loving the brethren. Can I say sistren? That almost sounds like another word, doesn't it? Now, we all know the disciples, the followers here in the New Testament, they love Jesus, right? But I want to tell you, they had trouble loving one another. They're always fussing with one another. They're always fighting with one another. They're always complaining about one another. They're always trying to get one up on the other. You remember, I want to be the greatest in the kingdom, right? And they didn't want to wash one another's feet. They didn't love one another the way they should have. And Jesus said, I want you to love one another. Wow. Let me say it again. Let me say it in a different way. The badge of identification is our love for one another. It's not found in a doctrinal statement. Hello? It's not found in the way we worship, or the hymns we sing, or the choruses we sing. It's not found in how many times you're in church every month. It's found in the way we love those who love Christ. Did y'all get that? Let me say it as kindly as I know how to say it. We're going to be judged by this. 1 John 3 and verse 14 says, you can know you pass from death unto life if you love the brethren. That's strong. 1 John 3 and 14. You know if you're saved by the way that you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Whew. If you're not loving your second mile family, you're dead already. Wow. I didn't say that. That's what the Word of God says. And here's an even harder thing to chew on. Did you know that we need to be willing to die for one another? Now, I'll be honest with you. I think I'd lay my life down for my wife and my kids and my grandchildren. Hello? I'm not sure that I'd be willing to lay my life down for... Y'all with me? But that's not the issue. Look with me real quick. I want everybody to see this. 1 John 3. Go back to 1 John 3. We're to lay our lives down for one another. 1 John 3, 16 through 19. If you hadn't seen this, man, hadn't read this in a while, watch this. 1 John 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. We would say amen to that, right? He laid His life down for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoo! How many times have y'all heard me say, you don't have to like me, but you've got to love me? Right there is where that comes from. We need to be willing to lay our lives down for one another. And by this, verse 19, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. I missed verse 18. I'm sorry. Verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Whew. When you see a brother or sister in need, we meet that need. Now, I'm not saying wants. We've got a million wants in this room, but we've got a few needs. And when somebody's needy, and by the way, the folks down the street at the Charismatic Church, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Hello? Greater Missionary Baptist Church is a black church on north end of town. Brother Rick Stevens preaching, they're our brothers and sisters. And we're to be willing to lay our lives down for one another. Are we willing to do that? Now, probably no one's going to ask you to lay down your life for some. Nobody's going to ask you to die for them, probably. Now, I think that's coming. Persecution's coming to the church. Hello? You'd better wake up and realize and drink the coffee. It's coming. But when I say the word sacrifice, that speaks of some kind of death, doesn't it? And we see our brother or sister in need, we're to sacrifice our time. And once you sacrifice that time's gone, right? We're to be willing to sacrifice our talents and our abilities. And we're to be willing to sacrifice our gifts and our treasure. And we're to love one another. I think this may be what attracted Alex and Sam to our church. We didn't judge them, we just loved them. And it kind of blew y'all away, didn't it, Alex? I mean, and it's not because we're so good, it's because Jesus is good. I went over to see my sweet sister Martha Smith the other day, and she hugged me right there in the door. And when I pulled up in the driveway, you're probably going to pull out a gun and shoot me, but there's Ronnie Fuller. He's already over there. You know what he's doing? He's doing some electrical work for her. Am I right, Martha? That's loving one another. Nancy DePriest. She had to move back a few months ago. And guess who helped her move? Some of my brothers and sisters helped get her stuff over to another place. When my mama had to move into Arcadia, guess who helped move her? Larry Vaden, you remember that wild crew that morning? We're to love one another. Several of our adults are giving of their time to take our kids in November up to Pigeon Forge, to Hearts on Fire. Why do we do that? Because we love one another. That's what we do. We had a little couple in here Wednesday night, and they had asked us to pray over them. So we anointed them with oil, and we prayed over them that God would deliver them. this couple. And I believe God heard our prayers. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Here's the bigger issue. When a lost and dying world sees us loving one another that way, guess what? They know Christ is real. And they're drawn to Him because we're real. And so the rubber's hitting the road about right now. Are you loving everyone? No matter what they look like? No matter what their skin tone is? No matter how old, no matter how young, are you loving everyone? And are you loving people the way Jesus loved people? Unconditionally, sacrificially? And are you in love with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you meeting their needs? Let's pray. Father, if it's love that sets us apart, if it is love, the love of God, that is marks us out as your followers, as your disciples, then God, give us a boatload of it. Help us to unload and be willing to sacrifice our time and our abilities and the wealth that you've given us to meet needs. And Lord, if there is one here today that does not have a personal relationship, is not in a love relationship with you, oh, I pray God today would be the day. If you're here this morning, sir, ma'am, young person, it's real simple. Christ died for you. He paid the price for all your sin. You couldn't live up to the commandments. You couldn't live up to the standards, but He did. And He gave His life for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And then 3 days later, Jesus got up from the grave never to die again. And He's alive this morning. And the Bible says if you'd be willing to repent, to turn from your sin, to have a change of the mind and a change of the will, and by faith trust what Christ did for you on the cross, if you'd be willing to surrender everything that you are to everything that He is, and ask Him to forgive you and save you, He will do that once and for all right where you sit. He'll do it today. And He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you the heart that's able to love folks. I know what I'm talking about. He's changed me. And He'll change you. But you've got to be willing to come to Him His way. And if you'll pray a prayer like this in your heart of hearts, right there where you sit, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've done wrong. I have not lived up to your standards and commandments. But Father, I believe your Son did. And He never did sin. And that's how He was able to become the sacrifice for my sin. And right now, by faith, I ask you to forgive me. And I trust you with my life. I give you everything that I am today. Thank you for your forgiveness. Father, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that way today, we believe you just got saved. And we want to get some things in your hand to help you get started right in your new life with Christ. But I believe there are others here. And God's doing a work right here amongst us in the chairs. Maybe you got a mother-in-law that's hard to love. Or a father-in-law that's just got you at your wit's end. Maybe it's someone or something else. And God's calling you right now to forgive that person and love them. What is it that he wants you to do? Father, as we dive into this invitation, this time of response, I pray, God, that if there's one here who's prayed to receive Christ, that they'd have the courage to come forward so that we can rejoice with them and pray over them. If there's others that maybe should have come earlier for prayer, they'd come now. This is your time, Father. This isn't about me. This is about you. And whenever we've heard the word and read the word, there's a response on our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've got this altar open again this morning. And if you prayed to receive Christ, we're going to ask you to just come. We're not going to ask you to preach or teach or sing or anything like that. But we want to register your decision and pray with you and rejoice with you. And if you've got a family member that you need to really learn how to love, we've got some folks who will pray for that and pray over you. Whatever it is that God's doing. What are we going to sing, Andrew?
Love Lifted Me.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.